Hello and welcome to another episode of Comic Talk Today. This one's going to be an interesting one and one that I think will generate some discussion. So if you want to chime in on your thoughts on what I have to say about this episode, or if you know something else about what's going on, then let me know on Twitter at GeekVine. You can email yell at comictalk.today. What is the topic at hand? I teased this out yesterday, and it's Chuck Wendig. We're going to talk about Chuck Wendig today because as of this past week, he has been fired from doing the Star Wars Shadow of Vader book. So let me give you a little bit of backstory as to exactly what's going on here before I go into my little rant on what I feel about the situation and why I think it's not really good for comics. So at New York Comic Con, Lucasfilm announced in their panel that the Vader book over at Marvel was ending and it was going to be replaced by Star Wars Shadow of Vader. That was going to be written by Chuck Wendig. I can't remember who the artists were. I think Greg Smallwood was involved, and I can't remember what the second one was, but I think there were two artists involved. Also, there was kind of teased that he was going to be working on another Star Wars project. There was no schedule for that, no title announced for that, as far as I'm concerned or understand. But as of this past week, it looks like neither one of those projects is happening, because Chuck Wendig was fired from the series after writing, I believe, three issues. So issues 4 and 5 will not be written by Chuck Wendig. They'll be written by somebody else. And this followed a whole slew of other things that were going on the background. I'm going to actually go ahead and start off with this whole thing by reading a series of tweets from Chuck Wendig that I think explain the situation pretty well. And here's how it goes. It's a series of like 6 or 7 tweets, so bear with me. Here's the thing that has happened. I just got fired from Marvel, taken off issues 4 and 5 of Shadow of Vader, and taken off an as-yet-unannounced Star Wars book. This may be a long thread, so apologies in advance. To rewind a little bit, when Star Wars Aftermath came out, I assumed most know, but maybe you don't, I put some elements in there, LGBT characters, that were not received well by a certain subset of characters. I was literally at a midnight release of the book when I got done. There were already a pile of 1-star reviews piling up, which seemed strange, obviously, and scary too. I didn't understand what was happening at the time. I also started receiving tons of harassment that has gone on for years, harassment that has required me to contact local police and warn them of swatting attempts, harassment across all corners of the internet, here, Facebook, Reddit, and Twitter, and YouTube. And privately, I was told by folks inside Lucasfilm that there was no worry here, that they valued that I spoke out, both speaking up for myself and for Star Wars, which has always honestly been a progressive brand and company. After I did Hyperion with Marvel, they hired me to write the Force Awakens adaptation, which meant I got to work with some wonderful folks, Hantos, Crackshot, on a project that was tricky because it ended up being more of a translation of the movie than an adaptation. Still, I thought things were good, and I hope to do more work with Marvel or Star Wars or a combo of the two someday. Comics isn't really my quote-unquote thing, per se, but I felt like I was getting a handle on it. Well, it was creepy. And I'd seen other signs of people being fired for political reasons, or folks like Chelsea Kane, who was yanked around, and was also the subject of considerable nastiness. Today I got the call, I'm fired, because of the negativity and vulgarity that my tweets bring. Seriously, that's what Mark, the editor, said. It was too much politics, too much vulgarity, too much negativity on my part. Which, of course, is their decision to make. I'm not their boss, and turns out they're not the boss of me either. I joke, because otherwise I cry. If they honestly feel that my presence would damage the book, I don't want that. I want the book to shine, and artists like Juan Ramirez and Greg Smallwood to do their amazing thing. Artists like that are gods in my mind, so I'm happy to not distract from their literal magic. And it seems odd to be mad that I'm mad about politics when look around. Climate change, kids in cages, sexual harassers, at the topmost tiers of power, and so on. A call for civility as the PA GOP candidate threatens Tom Wolf with a golf cleat stomping. I don't know, man. All that being said, a lot of wonderful people will still work inside those institutions and story worlds, and I hope you'll continue to support them and their stories they're telling. P.S. Vote in November like your life depends on it, because it might. All right, so a lot to unpack here, and I'm not quite sure what my exact opinions are, so usually that's why I do these rant episodes where I try to, oh man, I guess kind of guide my thoughts in a certain direction. And as you guys know, I generally try to stay away from politics of things, but it seems like more and more within comics themselves, an industry that I deeply, deeply love. You know, I've been reading comics for, man, I don't know, 30 years now, almost 30 years. I'm 37. And it's always been a great passion of mine. And I think for anyone listening to this podcast, it's also a great passion of yours. So even, you know, whatever side you fall on this debate, I don't want you to be jaded by whatever I have to say. I don't want you to get pissed at anything that I have to say either if you disagree with any of my thoughts. Because one thing that I think I've cultured over the past 108 episodes of this podcast is I try to be as nonpartisan as I can with my opinions on the show. And it's not because I want to not piss people off who listen to the podcast. That's not my intent at all. I think part of the problem that we have in our society nowadays is that we've become so tribal that it's often hard to hear other people's opinions on things because we automatically assume that anybody who does not agree with our own opinions is automatically incorrect because they're outside our tribe. We don't want to hear it. We only want to hear things from people inside our tribe. And unfortunately, that actually leads to bigger problems, much bigger problems. And, you know, there's a great many liberal folks that listen to this podcast. There's a great many conservative folks that listen to this podcast. And if you've ever had any interaction with me, particularly on Twitter, because that's my most public means of communication with anyone, you will know that I don't really care what your politics are. I really don't. I don't care what your politics are. And we may disagree on certain things. I mean, you can obviously assume from the way that I discuss certain topics on here that I'm a little more liberal than most folks. But as a result, I like to hear both sides because you know what? I think there are always valid arguments on both sides of the fence and something that we often forget about. Because again, we try to stick to our tribalism, try to stick around with people whose opinions we value the most because they are the most similar to ours. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. That's human nature. That's the way that we are wired to work. But a better way to work, to be honest, is to be able to understand where both sides are coming from. So, for example, part of the outrage of this whole thing started with this Aftermath book that Chuck Dixon wrote, or Chuck Wendig wrote. And I believe it's a novel. It's not a comic book. And there were some characters brought in that some people didn't appreciate, you know, LGBT characters. And I understand that. I have no problem with LGBT folks. But I understand that there are people that do have issues with that way of life. And look, I'm nobody, right? So I can't judge you on what you decide to do. If you want to be straight, then you're straight. If you're gay, you're gay. If you're born a man and want to become a woman, that's all your prerogative. I don't care. Because to me, what matters is what it is that you do in life, how you value yourself in the way that you carry yourself. So my thing really is, if you are the kind of person that causes problems, then I have a problem with you. But if you have an opinion, a valid opinion, and you can back up your opinion to me, then I'm okay with that. What I don't understand is why this whole thing has infiltrated comics so deeply. And I mean, you know, we can go through probably hours of discussion on exactly how it is that we got to this place. And I don't really want to talk about that because that's really beyond the scope of this podcast. The scope of this podcast is to talk about comics, our shared love of comics, because that's what matters to me. That's what matters to me. And I wonder if, you know, maybe all this social media, all this constant being on the internet, this wanting to be a prosumer of product is kind of what has led us in this direction. And if you don't know what a prosumer is, it's not a term that I made up. It's an actual thing. It's, you know, somebody who is a consumer of something who also produces content on said thing. And this is not necessarily just podcasters, but everyone in general, because, you know, with the internet being so, I mean, available everywhere on any device at any point in time of the day, any day of the week, for a large chunk of the population, maybe not the entire world, but a large chunk of the world, you can pretty much get online and talk to anybody at any point and talk about whatever the hell you want. This is part of the problem, though. And I mean, granted, it is giving me a platform where I can come on and talk about these subjects. But at the same time, it does bring out certain aspects of people that maybe aren't the best. And we've seen this for quite a while now, right? So this all started with the Gamersgate thing a few years ago. Gamersgate kind of ended up dying down a little bit, not necessarily gone away, by the way. None of these things ever go away. but the focus has shifted into the comic sector in something that's been labeled as Comicsgate. And I think it's a terrible name, by the way. I don't agree with a large chunk of the opinions of the Comicsgate movement. However, the parts that I disagree with the most is the harassment of creators. Because I'm totally okay with you not agreeing to do certain things with comics. That's always been something, right? You know what you like. You like what you like. You dislike what you dislike. I say this on the podcast all the time, right? Never feel like you need to, I don't know, prove to anybody why you like something. You know, we see this all the time. Oh, I'm the number one Batman fan because, you know, I know what Batman would do. Batman would do this. He would never, whatever. I don't know. What would Batman not do? Who knows? Batman would never kill. Let's just go with that. That's an easy one. Batman would never kill. Well, you know what? He used to kill. He used to kill a lot. First few issues of Batman, he killed a lot. It's okay. I mean, you know, Batman has changed over the years. So it really depends on what you've read with Batman, right? Or we see this was like The Flash. Oh, well, Barry's not my Flash. Wally's my Flash. And I'll probably be doing an episode on Wally West at some point later on this week or maybe next week. Because, man, DC sure hates Wally nowadays. Or with the Green Lanterns, you get that, right? Oh, Jon Stewart's the best Green Lantern. Oh, no, Jon Stewart's not. Kyle Rayner's the best Green Lantern. Whatever. There's always somebody that likes a particular thing, right? Who's the best Robin? Well, for me, it's Timmy Drake. Because to me, Dick Grayson's the best Batman. Don't tell Bruce Wayne that. So we all have opinions, right, on what it is that we like and don't like. So that's not really the problem. The problem is harassing comic book creators for doing their job. And let me tell you something. If I were to go into your place of employment, let's say you worked, I don't know, what's something easy? Food, fast food's easy. Let's go with fast food. Fast food's easy. If I go to your, I don't know, we'll go with Taco Bell. Okay, how about that? We'll do an easy one. I love Taco Bell. For anybody that listens to me chat with Nick on the Nerd Legion podcast, you will very well know Taco Bell is absolutely one of my favorite places to go to. I often say that it is garbage food, and I mean that with the utmost of love, because it should not be as good as I feel it is. So let's say you work at Taco Bell, and I go to your Taco Bell, and I order, I don't know, just a chicken and cheese quesadilla. Okay, we'll just go with that, something easy. And you don't toast my tortilla properly. Now, there's a couple ways that I can handle this, right? I could go up to you and say, hey, look, I like my tortilla a little more cooked, a little crispier. Can you go ahead and just do that for me real quick? You don't need to remake it. Just, you know, put it on the grill for another 30 seconds or whatever. That's one way of doing it, right? People generally respond extremely well to that kind of situation. Yeah, no problem. I mean, it's not that big a deal, right? You just put it on there for 30 more seconds, bring it back out, you're done. The other thing would be, oh, well, you effing a-hole. How dare you mess up my quesadilla? I need to talk to a manager. And this happens all the time too, by the way. Because I've worked retail for many a year. So I know how people react. Everyone always feels like they're entitled to something when they're really not, right? The saying in those kind of industries is always the customer is always right. And to me, that's actually part of the problem of the way people react. Because to be honest, the customer is not always right. The customer's not always right. You may want to be right. You may feel like you're entitled to whatever you want, right? Burger King's saying used to be, have it your way. And that's part of the problem. We can't just always have it our way. Because regardless of how big a Batman fan or Green Lantern fan or Flash fan or X-Men fan you are, you're not the one working on these titles. Somebody else is working on these titles. Somebody is spending a lot of time every single day of every single week of every single month pouring their skill, their knowledge, their craft onto a piece of paper or a computer screen or whatever to create a book that you will love. And guess what? A lot of the times you're still buying these books even though you hate them. Even though you hate them, you still buy them. And I'm part of that problem too. I was still buying Batman Rebirth every single issue. A book that I pretty much hated for the first 50 issues. And you know what? Now I actually enjoy it. I actually enjoy it. I had some issues with issue 54, but I got over. I read 55 and 56. I thought were fantastic. KG Beast is a great character. But it took me a long time, right? I mean, the book's been coming out for a couple of years now, and I was hate buying it. And sure, I had discussions with folks. I know I've had Daryl on from Gotham by Geeks, and we've talked about the book. He obviously loves the book, always has. I've always had issues with it until fairly recently. Then somebody like Mike Myers from the Geek Brunch podcast, he and I have talked about this book very publicly. He also had many issues, but he's now in the same camp that I am. He's really been enjoying the book since issue 50. And yeah, Mike was reading it more closely than I was. I was, you know, waiting sometimes 5-6 issues to catch up. In fact, when issue 50 came out, I remember I had to read, God, I think it was like 8 or 9 issues I was behind on because I wanted to be caught up for this wedding issue that was going to happen. Even though, spoiler alert, the wedding didn't happen, it didn't matter, right? And the way the book ended up being, regardless of the controversy about the wedding, the book was fantastic. Art was great. Writing was great. Character development was great. And then that storyline, man, that 3-issue arc that happened in the courtroom, brilliant. Whoever I had the idea to create that story, I know who you are, by the way. Thank you for doing that because it was brilliant. And so I was still buying it because, you know what? I've been reading Batman for 30 years, so of course I'm going to buy it. I can't have multiple long boxes filled with Batman comics from decades of collecting, from multiple decades of publishing, because of course I own tons of back issues of Batman. I can't just not buy the book because I'm not feeling it right now, right? Because a character that I love so much as Batman, I have to have all of it. And so I continued. But never once did I go to Tom King and say, Tom King, you're a fucking asshole. How dare you ruin my Batman? Even if maybe in the background, part of me felt that way. I never did that because you know what? The man spends a great deal of time and effort in creating something that he feels is the best possible incarnation of Batman in his eyes. And obviously, tons of people loved it. DC loved it. And so who am I to say anything? Just because I own hundreds and hundreds of issues of this character, probably thousands to be honest, means nothing to Tom King or Batman or DC or anybody else. Because even though I do podcasts and I've done many podcasts and I have a following on social and wherever else, people respect my opinions sometimes, not always. That means nothing. Because ultimately, I'm still nobody. I'm just a Joe Schmo talking behind the mic. Matter of fact, I kind of almost had that conversation today with somebody. We're discussing Titans privately on Twitter. And this person said something, and I was like, "Look, dude, I'm just Joe Schmo behind a mic. I don't know anything, you know. I'm appreciate you respect my opinions, but I'm nobody because I'm not. And the problem is, a lot of people feel like they're somebody when they're not. When they're not, because you are nobody. You are not writing these books. You are not drawing these books. You're not editing, coloring, inking, lettering, whatever. You are not involved in these books. Your only involvement in these books is the $2.99, $3.99, $4.99, $5.99, whatever that you spend on these comics once a month, twice a month sometimes. That is your place within the comic. And if what a certain person is doing, let's just bring it back to Chuck Wendig. If Chuck Wendig is writing a Star Wars book that you hate, then guess what? Just don't read it. And you can think to yourself, well, Martin, you just said that you have to keep reading Batman regardless of how terrible it is. And yeah, you're right. You're right. Maybe my opinion is wrong. Maybe you are that Star Wars person when you have to have everything Star Wars. It's possible. But maybe you should think about that. That is the decision that I have made. And the decision that I made is to continue doing it even when I don't like what I'm reading, to continue my collection. But I've also consciously made the decision that I'm not going to be a total asshole because there is a social civil contract that we should abide by. And we have all forgotten that. We have all forgotten that. This is on both sides, both liberals and conservatives. We've forgotten that because conservatives might say, hey, you're ruining my Star Wars. And then a liberal will come and say, well, no, we're not ruining it. They're bettering it because they have LGBT characters in it. We should include everybody. How dare you say that that's not right? And the argument continues and continues and continues. It gets worse and worse. People start harassing each other, sending death threats to each other, swatting. God, I'm not going to talk about swatting, but it's terrible. People have died from swatting. People that shouldn't have died. And it's insane. When things escalate to the point where people are physically getting hurt, it's ridiculous. Because guess what? We're arguing about these fictional characters who don't exist anywhere but on these pages. And maybe, I guess, in our brains. And we forget that sometimes, and we feel like we're entitled to those things. For what? What does it change? It changes nothing. It actually makes things worse, as we can see by the events that happen with Chuck Wendig. And you think to yourself, how the hell are you making that jump? What are you talking about? What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. The guy puts out a book that people quote unquote hate. Okay. Chances are the majority of people that are hating on this book, that are giving it 1-star reviews, never even read the book. The only reason they're after this campaign, they're harassing the guy, they're giving the book 1-star reviews, is to make the guy look bad. Because, like, if you read on Amazon, how would Amazon know? I mean, Amazon knows if you bought it, but you can just still review the book. It means nothing, right? You don't need to buy it to review it. You just review it. You can go to any website. You can go to, like, Goodreads and just review it. 0 out of 5. Whatever. And the review means something, right? Because people oftentimes try to go and look at other means of entertainment to kind of figure out what their opinion is. I mean, sometimes podcasts, right? There are people who listen to this podcast to try to figure out what they might be buying on any given week. Or if they're unsure about if they're going to buy something, that they'll maybe pick it up. That's why I try not to do just Marvel and DC books. I try to bring in every kind of publisher. And sometimes really odd choices, like talking about the Lone Ranger. I know the Lone Ranger's not going to sell a whole bunch of books. But guess what? It doesn't matter to me. I loved it. I loved it. I like the creative team. I want to support it. And some people may never even bother picking it up, even though I gave it a glowing review, and that's fine, because that's your prerogative, that's your option, that's your opinion. We still live in somewhat a free country. But that's the problem, right? Because people look for these reviews. We get this in movies too, right? All the DC movies get lambasted with their ratings, right? I talked about Suicide Squad, I don't even know when day that episode came out, a few days ago, when I was talking about James Gunn. And the movie's got like a 30% Rotten Tomatoes rating. So of course, if you base your opinion on whether you're going to go see a movie or not based on a Rotten Tomatoes rating, well, guess what? You're not going to go see it because the Rotten Tomatoes rating is terrible. Or you may look to review sites and read reviews or listen to podcasts at those reviews to figure out whether you want to go see something or not. Because money ain't cheap. Money ain't cheap. So you want to make sure that you spend your dollars on stuff that'd be worthwhile spending your dollars on. And I get that. I get that. You know, if Marvel's doing a $7.99, $8.99 book, then holy crap, like, that's a lot of money, right? You can buy 3 comics from somebody else. 2 comics maybe from somebody else for the price of 1. So is it worth it for you to pay the $8.99 on that book? Well, I don't know. Let me go check out, I don't know, Comic Book Roundup and see what people are saying about this book. Or let me download Comic Talk Today and see what Martin thinks about the book. Or any other podcast, whoever it is. Now, of course, when I do reviews, I often try to be as positive as I can, and I consciously make an effort not to talk about books that I'm not excited about or don't care for. Because if you listen to this podcast regularly, you know, when I do Top of the Pile, I'll usually pick between like 5 and 10 books. Okay? And that's something that I do generally every week. I know that I've kind of been a little slack on that the last couple of weeks, so that's why I just put out a catching up episode. I'm actually not just put it out. I think that's coming out as of the time I'm recording this tomorrow. By the time you listen to this, yesterday or 2 days ago. Because I wanted to make sure I talked about those books that I really loved. And so when you listen, you will realize there may sometimes be a book that's like a 3, 3.5. But the majority of the books that I end up deciding to talk about are always 4s or 5s. Because I feel like those are strong books that I want to highlight. I don't want you to come to this podcast to hear me bitch about a book that I hate. That's why when this whole Batman thing was going on for me, I didn't use my platform as a podcaster to talk about my hatred for the book. The couple times that I talked about my dislike for the book was with people that, 1, shared my opinion, 2, completely disagree with me. Because in the hope that through these discussions, I would find something, a redeeming quality for myself. And maybe it didn't work out, and that's fine, so that's why I never talked about it again. And I'm talking about the book now because I have highlighted Batman on this podcast in the Top of the Pile several times since I've started to love the book again. So why would I want to talk about a book that's a 1 out of 5 or 2 out of 5? That does nobody any favors. What does it do for me to call out a creator who obviously spends a lot of time creating this work that they feel is great, for the most part. Sometimes maybe, you know, writers or artists do just take a job just to get the cash. I get that. But for the most part, these guys are excited for the projects they're working on. So who am I to say, well, your work is shitty? Well, somebody else might love it, so I'm not going to say it's shitty. Obviously, the editors approved it. It's being published, so somebody likes it enough to put it out. And when it comes out, somebody's buying it, right? I often talk about, like, what's the demographic for this book? I talked about that a few times on this catch-up episode that is either out or will be out by the time you listen to this. Sometimes you don't need to do a book for a large demographic. It might just fit a specific niche demographic, and that's totally fine as well. But the thing is, we are nobody. None of you listening to this podcast, including myself speaking on this podcast, are anybody enough to warrant talking garbage about a creator of any sort or a comic of any sort. If you think it's garbage, then that's fine. You know, talk to your friends about it. You know, that can be your forum. Don't get online and threaten these people. How dare you ruin my book that I love so much because I'm an authority on this book. You're not an authority on anything. You're just a Joe Schmo with a platform. That's all you are. And the problem with all this thing is this is putting creators and publishers in a very tough spot. A very tough spot. I talked this a few weeks ago when this whole Alterna thing was going on, right? The social media policy. I was a little concerned about social media policy. At one point, I had considered no longer purchasing Alterna books because of the social media policy, because of the apparent treatment of certain folks that were working on books for Alterna. But ultimately, I decided against that because I heard both sides of the argument. I heard Peter Cimetti talk about it on his very emotional video he put on YouTube. And I understood where he was coming from, and I didn't exactly agree 100% with all his points of view, but I respected it, and I understood it. Because ultimately, comics are a business, and we forget that. These books aren't being put out for you, they're being put out to make money. And in order to make money, you need to reach the widest possible audience that you can. For example, Marvel and DC. It may not necessarily be true for smaller publishers, and it was in this case for Alterna, I would say. And he's still having a tough time, you know, fulfilling orders, by the way, because he had so much interest generated as a result of this. So companies like Marvel and DC are in a slightly different spot, I would say, than somebody like, we'll just go with Image. Because Image has a very different model than Marvel and DC do. If you put out a book for Image, or Vault is a good example as well, if you put out a book there, then the publisher doesn't own anything of your book. Right? They might get a cut if you get like option for movies or whatever else, TV shows. They might get a cut of that. But in terms of ownership of your title, you own everything. The only involvement they have is in helping you publish your work. If you're a writer, you're responsible for writing your script. You're responsible for finding an artist, an inker, a letterer, a colorist, an editor, a cover artist, whatever. But they give you options to help you with that process and to help you bring your book out. At Marvel and DC, of course, you don't have that. The companies own the characters outright. You work for them. You write the book the way that they want you to write it. That's always been the case. Now, there may be times where the way that you're allowed to write a particular thing may change slightly, right? So, for example, if you're putting out, I mean, theoretically, a book on Black Label, and, you know, I don't want to talk about Batman Damned anymore because I think I beat that horse to the ground. But if you're putting out a book for Black Label, technically it's a mature audience's book, so you technically should be able to put in whatever you want, including Bat Penis, Joker Crucifixions, whatever. But ultimately, really, we know that that's not necessarily the case, which leads to some concerns that I have for the future of the Black Label line, however irrelevant to this discussion. I mean, kind of relevant, but we're not going to talk about it. I've talked about it enough. I don't want to put you guys through that once again. So theoretically, you can do whatever you want, but you can't. Right, because DC owns those characters. Or if you're putting out a book for Marvel, Marvel owns those characters. And I know there's been some, there was a little backlash actually this, I think today is the time I'm recording this. Jerry Conway made a comment on Twitter saying, how dare you DC not credit, anybody for, the Titans TV show. Because of course there was no credit given to Mark Wolfman or George Perez. On the creation of Titans, and they created the majority of the characters in that series. So of course they should get some kind of credit, right? I mean, we've had this before. All this has happened before. All this will happen again. That's why this is really important to talk about. And there's not enough people talking about it. It's important because guess who got credit on the Titans TV show. Not Marv Wolfman, not George Perez. But it would have been very easy to give him credit. And we've had this fight before. Again, all this has happened before. All this would happen again. Those of you that have been around for a while may remember some of this thing happening with, like, Superman and Batman. Right? Like, the Siegel and Schuster stuff, they never received credit. Never received credit for any of the TV shows, the movies, until a whole legal battle ensued, and eventually there were some rights given. Those of you that are Batman fans, will remember the same thing with, like, Bill Finger, for example. Bill Finger never got credit for anything until a couple of years ago, after many years of legal battles, after tons of stuff. Watch a documentary about Bill Finger on Hulu. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. DC should pay Hulu a ton of money to put that under DC Universe service for people that are already on that service. Because it is a brilliant documentary that everybody should watch about the way that comic creators have been treated throughout the times of comic book industry. Check out a book like Hey Kids Comics. I think that Image puts that out. That's kind of a fictional retelling of the early days of, you could argue Marvel, but really it's a mishmash of a bunch of things. There's a Stan Lee character in there. That's very interesting. And of course, Stan Lee had become beloved. I'm not talking crap about Stan Lee in any way, shape, or form, but there's many stories. Many stories. I mean, this is the reason why we got Image Comics in the first place in the 90s. Because publishers were not treating their creators with the proper respect, with the proper recognition for the amount of work that they put into these characters. Because guess what? People don't want to create characters for Marvel and DC, for the majority. We'll get to that in a second. Don't want to create new characters for those companies because guess what? They're not going to own them. They're never going to see a penny from any of those things because it's built into the contract that we'll never see a penny from any of those things unless you're some kind of superstar maybe. Somehow Liefeld maybe got something out of Cable and Deadpool and those guys. And that good for him. Good for him. I'm sure somebody like Scott Snyder is getting credit for like The Signal and all the characters he creates for like, the Dark Knight's Metal stuff. And good for him. Or Bendis with like Miles Morales. Good for him. But guess what? Not everybody is a Scott Snyder or a Brian Michael Bendis. Those things happen almost never. It's like a once in a generation thing that those kind of things happen. And those people put in heart and soul and sweat and blood and tears for years on those publishers in order to get that recognition, right? Somebody like Jeff Johns, who moved up quite a bit, right? From just coming in and doing random little things over at DC to eventually being over like the movies. And I don't know what's happening with that now. I guess he's not really involved in that. He's kind of been put to the side because of the lack of success, I guess, of the previous DCU movies. And that's fine. I mean, he still has a place there, but that's not how these companies work. And it's a problem, and a problem that we see surfacing over and over again. And the only reason I want to talk about this Chuck Wendig thing is because it's Chuck Wendig, right? And that's kind of the problem. If it was somebody smaller, like, I don't know, Sam Humphries, okay? Or, I mean, we can talk about Chelsea Kane, because Chelsea Kane has been somewhat part of the story as well. And I find that really interesting. Chelsea Kane wrote Mockingbird at Marvel, a book that a lot of people hated because of the way that she took that character, because of the feminist viewpoints that she was allowed to put into the book. The book was canceled. There was a lot of outrage about the book. And guess what? I didn't care about reading it because I didn't care about a Mockingbird comic until all this stuff happened. Then I read it and I thought it was brilliant. Mockingbird's a fantastic comic. And she was supposed to be working on a Vision sequel. Vision, of course, written by Tom King for the first series. She was going to be working on a Vision sequel that dealt a lot with Viv, Vision's daughter. And that book was canceled, announced, completely written, as far as I know, completely illustrated as well, and canceled before it came out. So Marvel has this series, miniseries, whatever it is, completely done that they're never going to put out. Because as we learn from Jerry Conway, it seems like maybe Marvel didn't agree with some of Chelsea Kane's political ideas. And, you know, being a freelancer, they don't need to keep her on. They can just cancel the contract at any point, right? I mean, she probably already got paid for the work anyway, right? Because she worked for it. So, of course, she's going to get paid for her work. But the work will never see the light of day. So, not too bad for Chelsea Kane. I guess she got paid for it. But that's not the point. Because the point is, she worked so hard with her team to create this book that will never see the light of day. That nobody will ever be able to talk about. Because of what? Because she's got certain opinions that will maybe piss some readers off and maybe get those readers to not come back to read more Marvel comics? I mean, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Same thing with Chuck Wendig. And the problem is, some of these things are, I'm sure, being written into contracts for a variety of reasons. But, you know, I remember a couple years ago, the Ethan Van Sciver stuff, a guy whom I actually used to really enjoy. I mean, I remember reading Battle Frog in the 90s, and I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing, but I love it. I think partially because it reminded me of Battletoads. I don't know if you've ever played that video game, but it reminded me of that, and I was like, oh, this is so cool, right? Like, it's weird and kooky and different, but so cool. And then, you know, now with social media, I get to learn about his viewpoints, and I don't like what he has to say. And there's plenty of people that do, and, you know, he ran a successful Indiegogo for a new Cyberfrog, that's what it was called. A new Indiegogo for Cyberfrog. He made, like, I don't even know how much it was, like $500,000 to get this book made. So he's obviously got a following from a certain demographic, a certain group of people, and that's great. That's great. You know, we've got a Comicscape publisher now, explicitly, and I'm not going to talk about that because the person behind that I definitely disagree with, so I don't even want to mention their name. But, you know, it was a group that felt like the comics that they wanted to see weren't being made, and that what's the best thing to do but create your own publisher to bring those things out. You know what? Good for you. That's exactly the way things work. If you want to put out a certain comic and people don't want to put it out, then you find an alternate means of putting it out. Because if you have a built-in fan base, then of course, why not? Again, comics are a business. And sure, there are many of us that it's a huge hobby, something that we really love. And of course, our love and of the industry supports all these books, but there may not always be a place for everybody within a certain publisher or any group of publishers, or really maybe any publisher sometimes, who knows? So yeah, put your book out on your own publisher. That's fine. I will not buy it because I don't agree with the way these, well, not everybody, but some of these people treat other groups, minorities, women, gays, lesbians. I disagree. Because I feel like we're all equal in this world, and all our opinions are equally valid. But most of these people don't feel that way, and that's fine. But the Chelsea Kale thing is interesting, right? Why cancel a book? It's already done. It's already done. And she actually chimed in to Chuck Wendig's thing with a really interesting comment, and all she did was post a GIF that said, union. And that's really interesting, because I don't think that's something that's ever really been discussed within comics, right? I mean, we've had bouts of creator-owned rights throughout the decades, some more successful than others. And, you know, when Image came about and we're talking about creators' rights, I mean, even before Image, we had like Neil Adams, right? Neil Adams, say what you will about the guy, right? He's like every con, he charges outrageous prices for his stuff. Say what you will about the guy. I've met Neil Adams. I talked to him at a bar in a hotel for like 5 minutes, him and his wife. I didn't want to interrupt them because they were having dinner together. But I talked to him real quick. He was super nice. And he did a ton of work to get creators recognized, in particular Simon and Schuster for Superman, to get them recognized for the amount of work they put into these characters. He is a champion of creators' rights. And then some of that stuff kind of went away and things went back to business as usual. Then we have the Image Revolution, right? By the way, watch the documentary. Fantastic. I don't know where it's available, but it used to be streaming either on Hulu or Netflix. So find that. If not, buy it. It's worth it. Image Revolution. We had that whole thing and, you know, we had indie creators popping up everywhere doing their own books, their own imprints, their own publishers. And it was great. And Marvel and DC are scrambling and lots of stuff was going on at the time, right? Both publishers were maybe trying to buy each other at one point. Both were kind of going bankrupt at one point. Other companies came in, bought them, whatever. And then things kind of went back to normal. And now here we are, once again, 25, 30 years later, kind of going through the same thing. Going through the same thing. Why have we not learned how to fix this problem? Why have we not learned that? Why should creators have to tone down their presence in social media? I'm going to tell you something. So I would love to write comics. I would love to write comics. I have scripts of comics that I've worked on. And I always say, oh, one of these days I'm going to submit it somewhere. And I won't. I'm going to tell you that. I won't. Because I find some of the practices for some of these publishers to be absolutely disgusting. And I don't think I would want to do that. But, you know, I still write because I love writing. I love writing. And sometimes I'll show some of these stories to friends or whatever. Very rarely, but sometimes I do. I don't know if I would want to be involved. And the thing is, you know, me doing this podcast, for example, I think this is probably the most opinionated podcast I've ever done, because most of the other podcasts have kind of gone different directions, right? So I used to do a Valiant podcast, and I was critical of them because of my love for them, but I never talk bad about them, right? Or like Nerd Legion podcast, you know, that kind of goes in different directions. I was doing a Batman podcast, mostly concentrating on Golden Age stuff, and some of that will return in the Batpod with Bill and Joey. But in terms of doing like rants, for example, like I do here, where usually once a week I go off for a while. No notes, by the way. I never have any notes on these things. Okay. The only note I have right now in front of me is Chuck Wendig's tweets. I like to talk out of my brain because I think it's important for me to try to work things out for myself. But how we learned not to get back into the situation. I mean, this is going to be terrible for comics. It's going to be terrible for comics. We've been seeing this develop over the last, I would say, 2 years. 2 years. And usually it's not that huge a deal because the names that kind of pop up are people that not many people know, or, you know, creators of books that maybe not a lot of people buy, but somebody that's a big name like Chuck Wendig. And then when you have somebody like Jerry Conway chiming in some of the stuff, I mean, that's when things start to get real. Start to get real. I know like Charles Soule has made some comments on this. He's like the guy at Marvel right now, right? I mean, aside from maybe Donny Cates, but he is the guy. And I don't see enough creators talking out about this, because the problem is there's probably stipulations within the contracts themselves that they can't talk about this stuff. And so when I do this podcast, if I were to ever become a comic book writer, what would I have to do? Just delete all of my podcasts so that those opinions aren't made available? Delete all my tweets so they're not made available? I mean, that's kind of what happened with James Gunn, right? He had these tweets from years ago when he was nobody. And somebody found them, and, you know, Disney had to fire him. I wouldn't want to do that, right? Because the thing is, I try to be as true and honest as I can. I try to be as true and honest as I can. Everything that I say, I speak firmly and directly, and I truly believe in it. I truly believe in it. And I try not to get emotional, but sometimes I can't help it. But I always make sure not to mad-mouth anybody, right? I mean, I may say things, may explain why I disagree with your point of view, but I'll never talk badly about you. And that's the thing. We should always be honest with ourselves and with the people around us. Because that's how you gain respect. Not through fear-mongering by calling people out and harassing them, but by generating a true opinion and a true conversation on whatever topic it is that we're trying to handle. And that's something that everybody forgets. You know, I look at like comic book websites, and this is not true for all of them. So if you work for a comic book website and you listen to this, then please by no means take offense. But I look at comic book websites, for example, and I think to myself, well, it often seems like these articles aren't really an opinion piece. It's more like a fluff marketing piece. And guess what? I mean, I get press releases in my email. I don't need to read your press release on your website. I got it in my email inbox. Give me something more. Give me something that's meaningful. Something that makes me want to continue reading your website. And it's something that doesn't happen. You know, I was going to have Alex on from the Comic Crusaders a few months ago because there was the situation that happened over there. And that never came about because he just kind of wanted to kill the subject. And I understand why. I don't blame him in any way, shape, or form for that. But it was an interesting topic and one that I felt needed discussion. And one that I kind of touched on in a rant previously, but not really as in-depth as I wanted to with Alex. And you know what? Now Alex maybe feels like he can't do some of this type of work because of the harassment. And that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't care. If you want to harass me online, I'll block you. I don't care. It's not going to do me any difference, right? But if you want to have a genuine discussion with me, I'm all for it. I mean, you know where to find me, at GeekVine. I'm on Twitter. You can email yell@comictalktoday. Yell at me all you want. But if you're not willing to take part in the discussion, then I'm not going to talk to you. I will happily discuss anything you want. I will respect your opinion if you respect mine, and that's the bottom line. But a lot of these places feel like maybe they can't do that kind of thing, and that's shameful. It's shameful because we can't have a real discussion on anything anymore. We can't. You know what the only way to have a real, genuine discussion on things is? To not be available publicly. To not be on social media or Facebook or Instagram or whatever the hell else. To have no social presence. To only talk to people that go to your comic shop with you, that you see them in real life. To talk to your friends that you know and love already. That, chances are, already have the same opinions as you anyway. That's why they're your friends. And that's sad. It's really sad. Really sad. So what's going to happen with comics? I mean, if in built into the contract is the fact that, hey, you know, you have to be nice to everybody. You can't piss anybody off. You can't badmouth why would you badmouth a publisher? But like, you know, badmouth Marvel or DC or whatever. You can't do that. Well, then how am I going to get to know this creator, right? Because let me tell you something. I follow creators because of who they are. Robert Venditti, for example, one of the nicest people in the comic book industry, period. I love Robert. I will buy anything Robert does because I've fostered a relationship with Robert at conventions and through another podcast, and I love what he does. And you know what? Robert is a genuine person. God, I'm starting to tear up. Robert's a genuine person. And of course I want to support that kind of thing. And maybe talk about, you know, like old grandma Italian recipes. We've done that too. But I want to support that. And you know what? If I didn't have that kind of relationship where I've gotten to speak to the guy, then I may not feel the same way, right? Like I may like his writing, but it's a little bit different than forming some kind of connection with somebody, right? And the thing is, I know when the connection stops because I know Robert Venditti's not my best friend. I'm not just going to call Robert Venditti on the phone. I'm not going to show up to his house, right? I love his work, and the fact that he is a good person, a nice, genuine person, is an added bonus that helps me love his work. But I never would feel like, oh, Robert Venditti, you destroyed X-Men Award. You destroyed Green Lantern. You destroyed Hawkman. Can't believe you're doing this. I would never do that. Never do that. And the thing is, it concerns me for, you know, up-and-coming comic book writers and artists and whatever other position. Because if they can't do any of that stuff, then who are they really? Who are they really? They're nobody. It's like going back to the old Marvel bullpen when everybody was just in the office all day writing and drawing and they had to put out, whatever, 60 pages a week, right? I mean, that was kind of the issue that Kirby had. Poor guy, they worked him to death. Is that what we want? That's what we want from our comics? We just want a bunch of peons and slaves working in an office, writing the stuff, drawing the stuff. It's ridiculous. Anyways, I'm going to wrap it up here. Whew. I generally try not to get emotional, so I apologize in advance. Of course, if you want to give me some feedback on this whole thing, you know where to find me, @GeekVine. I already said that. Email address, yell@comictalk.today. I already said that. But I do want to hear your thoughts, and I do hope that this generates some more discussion. Because it, in my eyes, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for the future of comics. Thank you all for listening, though. I'll be back tomorrow with Top of the Pile. I'll catch you then. All right, so I wanted to put this into the episode because last night I had a discussion with a friend of mine, and I'm not going to name names, but he asked me if I was going to be talking about this Chuck Wendig thing, and I was like, yeah, I recorded it yesterday. And he had a couple things to say. That I thought were really interesting. And, you know, these, as it turns out, these things are being written into contracts for sure. They're, oddly enough, unofficially called the, Ethan and Skyver rule. I don't know how true that is, but there's a lot of stipulations being put into contracts that have me even more concerned. You know, before I was kind of assuming, and now it almost seems like some of that stuff is true. And, man, I really hope that there's a way to fix this kind of stuff. I love interacting with folks on social media. I think it's important. I think it's important for creators to be able to speak about their work on social media, but not if that means that they will not be able to speak their mind on things, to be who they are. If all they end up becoming is drones of comic book companies, then I think that's a really sad state of affairs. And I hope that there's a solution. If you know what the solution might be, then let me know. And, man. Yeah. Anyways, I'm done with this time. Bye.